Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. After a year and a half of hearings, motions, and filings, the State Public Utilities Commission is taking testimony on whether to authorize TransCanada to build the Keystone XL pipeline across South Dakota. Both opponents and proponents have been outlining their cases in the seven-day hearing at the PUC. The hearing is to determine if TransCanada can still meet the conditions set when the PUC gave the company its 2010 permit to build. Supporters argue that the pipeline will be a boon for the country and will create construction jobs and boost tax collections in South Dakota. Opponents are concerned the pipeline could contaminate water supplies and contribute to pollution. SDPB's Victoria Wicks is covering the hearing at the state capitol, and she joins us from Pierre. And Victoria, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Well, first, if the PUC approved a permit in 2010, why are they holding these hearings again?
It's just it's a caveat. The permit, that permit has allows the pipeline to be built, but it has to be built within 4 years, and TransCanada didn't get it done. The project is really jammed up at the federal level. It has to have a presidential permit, and the State Department is handling that, and because it goes over a foreign border with Canada. And until that happens, the pipeline can't be built. So if the PUC permits it again this time, it doesn't get built within 4 years. I don't know, if maybe they have to go through this process again.
Well, who's participating in the hearings? TransCanada, obviously, but who else?
There are parties to the action, and there are four tribes: Rosebud, Standing Rock, Cheyenne River, and Yankton Sioux. And then there are kind of like environmental groups or activist groups, Bold Nebraska, and I think that came into being just because of the Keystone XL pipeline going through Nebraska. It initially was supposed to go through the through White Sands in Nebraska and over the Oglala Aquifer, but that had to be rerouted, and I think Bold Nebraska had a lot to do with that because, you know, if it was a spill, then it would, the sands are porous, and the spill might have gone into the aquifer. And then there's Dakota Rural Action and the Indigenous Environmental Network. Then there are various individual landowners. John Harder is here. He went to court to try to keep the pipeline off his land, but failed in that battle. And then various environments.
What is the format of the hearing? Is it anything like a court hearing?
Well, it is. I've watched a lot of court, and I'm noticing differences and similarities. This is an administrative hearing, and there's a hearing examiner, John Smith. He's a PUC attorney, and he acts as a judge. He overrules or sustains objections. But unlike a judge, he can be overruled himself by the PUC, and you don't see that in court, the judge being overruled by the lawyers. So the PUC commissioners are actually judges, probably, and John Smith takes the administrative portion of that role. And then yesterday, this was hashed out at great length, having to do with rebuttal witnesses. In regular court, if a witness testifies, you know, people call their witnesses, and the witnesses testify. And then if one party wants to bring in a witness to rebut something that one of the other witnesses has said, then they pull them in at the end. But the PUC has required pre-filed written rebuttal testimony, which parties yesterday objected to that and said it doesn't make sense, it's out of order. And now if they object on a case-by-case basis, the PUC will make a witness wait until the end to rebut testimony.
Now, the opening statements were on Monday. Quickly, what are the two sides saying?
TransCanada keeps repeating that the only issue at this hearing is whether TransCanada continue to meet conditions set for their permit in 2010. They're not getting a new permit. They're just certifying they can meet the conditions. And opponents want to prove they don't, that they can't.
Now, this is something of an emotionally charged issue. What has the hearing been like so far?
Well, you know, it is a formal, there is a format to it, so there's not a free-for-all, but there has been some antagonism. But it is a controlled antagonism. I've seen lawyers in court do this kind of thing, sniping at each other, and then, you know, the next week they go out to lunch. I'm not sure if this antagonism is all that controlled. They might not be going out to lunch in the future. There are separate philosophies at work here, and they're hard-held philosophies. And, you know, they have to do with the environment and climate and that sort of thing.
Well, you mentioned the climate. One of the big issues nationally surrounding the whole Keystone XL pipeline debate is climate change. But as I understand it, that's not under discussion in the state PUC hearings. Why is that?
Well, because the PUC doesn't take something that large into consideration, I guess. It's not one of the conditions. It doesn't have to do with one of those conditions that TransCanada needs to meet. And I believe that's central to it.
Now, how many people are there in the state capitol in the hearing room?
Well, the parties primarily. You know, there's a big room here. It's at 414 in the capitol, which is the big hearing room during legislative session. And lots of tables and chairs, and there are placards on the tables for all parties, but most of them are sitting there empty, just with these white placards sitting there. I think that a lot of those are the opponents, and the opponents aren't up yet. TransCanada goes first because it has the burden of proof, proving that it can meet its conditions. And then later in the week, the opponents will come in and testify, so I'm assuming that they're just waiting until it's time for them. And as far as people coming in to watch, I don't think there are a lot of people who are doing that. It's a full process, you know, a very deliberate process, and it's not great theater for people who don't get off on that kind of thing the way court junkies do.
Yeah, so you're finding this fascinating theater.
Slowly fascinating theater. Yeah.
Slowly revealing. So when are the hearings scheduled to wrap up?
They're scheduled to they run the rest of this week, and then they set aside next Monday and Tuesday, August 3rd and 4th, I think it is. I'd be surprised if they got it done, but I suppose they will. Each one of TransCanada's witnesses being cross-examined by all of the opponents. So maybe when the opponents come in and testify, they won't be cross-examined. They're only cross-examined by TransCanada. So maybe they'll get it done in time.
So when will the PUC ultimately issue a decision on whether to approve the permit or not?
They really haven't declared that, I don't believe. Christy Fegan, who is undergoing medical treatment, is not here, and she is choosing to review the audio and or the transcript of the entire hearing in the near future, it sounds like. And she has publicly announced that, you know, that she's going through medical treatment. So anyway, she will have the opportunity to do that, and then there will be a public hearing afterwards, it's my understanding, to deal with the findings.
Okay, and if you're interested in hearing the hearings, they are available live, archived audio, also available as well at sdpb.org. And Vicki, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl.
That's SDPB's Victoria Wick. She joins us from the State Capitol and Pier, where she's covering the State Public Utilities Commission's Keystone XL pipeline hearing.